Well, good afternoon, little children. It is April 30th, 2023, 1325 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green here with you. Let's begin with a song from what year I'm going to have to check, but it's Johnny Mathis, Chances Are.
Chances are, 'cause I wear a silly grin the moment you come into view. Chances are you think that I'm in love with you. Just because my composure sort of slips the moment that your lips meet mine. Chances are you think my heart's your valentine. In the magic of moonlight, when I sigh, hold me close, dear. Chances are you feel you'll always be the one and only one for me. And if you think you could, well, chances are your chances are awfully good. You feel you'll always be the one and only one for me. And if you think you could, well, chances are your chances are awfully good. The chances are your chances.
That was Chances Are from 1957, Johnny Mathis. That was the year I was born, 1957. Well, our study, little children, for today is from Chapter 8, Paragraph 2. We did Paragraph 1 yesterday, or is it from Paragraph 3? I think it might be Paragraph 3 today, is it? No, it's Paragraph 2. Yeah. I believe it's paragraph 2. I've been reading ahead, so I'm not really sure which paragraph we're on, but I know that I will know fairly soon. Chapter 8 is entitled, we missed this, the title of Chapter 8. It is entitled Truthfully Historical Egypt. So we're into something new now, because Chapter 7 was about the Sinaitic inscriptions in the wilderness of Sinai that the Israelites apparently and evidently made in the rocks. And this chapter is about the truthful history, the chronology of Egypt. And we did paragraph 1 yesterday. So, we haven't done this, I don't believe. Paragraph 2 is something we haven't done yet. Having determined beyond any fathomable doubt the date of the Exodus of Israel from Egypt as 1493. Move this. We must make more certain than ever of the foundations upon which dates rest in the BG Egyptian Guide, which could be also abbreviated to BAGAG as an acronym. The year 30 Hebsed Festival, or Jubilee of Hatshepsut, celebrated in her year 16, would correctly, plausibly amount to the sum of her 15 years plus 3 years of her husband, Thutmose II, and some 12 years for Thutmose I. Thus, her year 16, Hebsed, long a source of questions, you see, because the Hebsed was normally celebrated in year 30, could have been celebrated in honor to her father, he being Thutmose I, when she dedicated a coffin to him. Other arguments, which evoke a longer reign, 13 years for her husband, cannot account for the fact that when a pharaoh died, his wife subsumed his years of reign, which would mean her year 16 would include his years. Something precluded, in this case, by the role played by Hatshepsut as co-ruler and guardian of Thutmose III, a son of Thutmose II, and the true heir to the kingship. But if it did include those years, is still 16, not 30. We cannot find the truth about Harry Potter or Superman, but digging into their history, since they are mere fictional characters, whereas we can dig into the past about Egypt and its historical pharaohs. Regarding this year 30 celebration of Hatshepsut from the time of the Crucible article, we were aware of it, although we didn't say anything about it there. If, as von Beckerath has argued, there is insufficient evidence to statistically evaluate any length of reign for Thutmose II, it is logically evaluated as 3 years, and the calculation is shown in the footnote below. I just redid those calculations, and it's very clear to see that based on the ratio of the number or numbers of scarabs for each of the three pharaohs, Hatshepsut, her husband Thutmose II, and her father Thutmose I, we determine the reign of Thutmose II as 3 years or 3.1 years. And if we put 11 and a half for the number here in the calculation, 65 divided by 241 times 11, if that's 11 and a half instead, the number is exactly 3.1 again, or very close to 3.1, which is the same number that we calculate above as 65 divided by 463 times 22. Where 22 years is the number of years that Hatshepsut reigned in this calculation, 463 is the number of scarabs existing of Hatshepsut, and 65 is the number of scarabs existing for Thutmose II, her husband. So 65 divided by 463 times 22 gives the proportional number of years that Thutmose II is calculated to have ruled based on the number of scarabs. And it's in both cases, when we calculate using the number of scarabs for her father, Thutmose I, we have 241 scarabs for him and 463 for Hatshepsut. So we divide 241 by 463 and multiply by the years that Hatshepsut reigned, and we get 11 and a half years for her father based on the number of scarabs. And then using that 11 and a half to do the same calculation, comparing, in this case, Thutmose the I with 241 to Thutmose II with 65, And multiplying times the 11 and a half, we get 3.1, or if we use 11, we get 3.0 years for Thutmose II. So both calculations lead to the same result, that 3 years is the reign of, based on the scarabs, of Thutmose II, based on this logic. This is the logic we're using here. It's not statistically evaluated based on any kind of advanced statistics, certainly. It's very simple logic. And we're in paragraph 8.2, but we're in the chapter Truthfully Historical Egypt, Chapter 8 of Wild Road, Part 2. And that's the end of the study of Wild Road for today. Proverbs 25. Today's proverb is from verse 4. Let there be a removing of scummy dross from the silver, and all of it will come forth refined. Our reading from Exodus chapter 12. Jehovah now said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month will be the start of the months for you. It will be the first of the months of the year for you. Speak to the entire assembly of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, they are to take for themselves, each one, a sheep for the ancestral house, a sheep to a house. But if the household proves to be too small for the sheep, then he and his neighbor close by must take it into his house according to the number of souls. You should compute each one proportionate to his eating as regards the sheep. The sheep should prove to be sound, a male, a year old, for you. You may pick from the young rams or from the goats. And it must continue under safeguard by you until the 14th day of this month, and the whole congregation of the assembly of Israel must slaughter it between the two evenings. And they must take some of the blood and splash it upon the two doorposts and the upper part of the doorway belonging to the houses in which they will eat it. And they must eat the flesh on this night. They should eat it roasted with fire and with unfermented cakes, along with bitter greens. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled, cooked in water, but roast with fire its head together with its shanks and its interior parts. And you must not leave any of it over till morning, but what is left over of it till morning you should burn with fire. And in this way you should eat it, with your hips girded, sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand. And you must eat it in haste. It is Jehovah's Passover, and I must pass through the land of Egypt on this night and strike every firstborn in the land of Egypt, from man to beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I shall execute judgments. I am Jehovah, and the blood must serve as your sign upon the houses where you are. And I must see the blood and pass over you, and the plague will not come on you as a ruination when I strike at the land of Egypt. And this day must serve as a memorial for you, and you must celebrate it as a festival to Jehovah throughout your generations. As a statute to time indefinite, you should celebrate it. 7 days you are to eat unfermented cakes. Yes, on the first day you are to take away sourdough from your houses, because anyone eating what is leavened from the first day down to the seventh, that soul must be cut off from Israel. And on the first day there is to take place for you a holy convention. And on the seventh day a holy convention. No work is to be done on them. Only what every soul needs to eat, that alone may be done for you. and you must keep the festival of unfermented cakes, because on this very day I must bring your armies out from the land of Egypt. And you must keep this day throughout your generations as a statute to time indefinite. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, in the evening you are to eat unfermented cakes down till the 21st day of the month in the evening. 7 days no sourdough is to be found in your houses, because anyone tasting what is leavened, whether he is an alien resident or a native of the land, that soul must be cut off from the assembly of Israel. Nothing leavened are you to eat. In all your dwellings you are to eat unfermented cakes. Promptly, Moses called all the older men of Israel and said to them, "Draw out and take for yourselves small cattle, according to your families, and slaughter the Passover victim. And you must take a bunch of hyssop and dip it into the blood in a basin, and strike upon the upper part of the doorway and upon the two doorposts some of the blood that is in the basin. And none of you should go out of the entrance of his house until morning. Then, when Jehovah does pass through to plague the Egyptians and does see the blood upon the upper part of the doorway and upon the two doorposts, Jehovah will certainly pass over the entrance, and he will not allow the ruination to enter into your houses to plague you. And you must keep this thing as a regulation for you and your sons to time indefinite. And it must occur that when you come into the land that Jehovah will give you, just as he has stated, then you must keep this service. And it must occur that when your sons say to you, 'What does this service mean to you?' then you must say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Passover to Jehovah, who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt when he plagued the Egyptians, but he delivered our houses.'" Then the people bowed low and prostrated themselves. Subsequently, the sons of Israel went and did just as Jehovah had commanded Moses and Aaron. They did just so. And it came about that at midnight, Jehovah struck every firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh sitting on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the prison hole, and every firstborn of beast. Then Pharaoh got up at night, he and all his servants and all other Egyptians, and there began arising a great outcry among the Egyptians, because there was not a house where there was not one dead. At once he called Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Get up! Get out from the midst of my people, both you and the other sons of Israel, and go, serve Jehovah just as you have stated. Take both your flocks and your herds just as you have stated, and go. Also, you must bless me besides." And the Egyptians began to urge the people in order to send them away quickly out of the land, because they said, "We are all as good as dead." Consequently, the people carried their flour dough before it was leavened with their kneading troughs wrapped up in their mantles upon their shoulder, and the sons of Israel did according to the word of Moses, in that they went asking from the Egyptians articles of silver and articles of gold and mantles. And Jehovah gave the people favor in the eyes of the Egyptians, so that these granted them what was asked, and they stripped the Egyptians. And the sons of Israel proceeded to depart from Ramesses for Succoth, to the number of 600,000 able-bodied men on foot, besides little ones. And a vast mixed company also went up with them, as well as flocks and herds, a very numerous stock of animals. And they began to bake the flour dough that they had brought out from Egypt into round cakes, unfermented cakes, because it had not leavened, for they had been driven out of Egypt and had not been able to linger. And two, they had not prepared any provisions for themselves. And the dwelling of the sons of Israel who had dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came about at the end of the 430 years, it even came about on this very day, that all the armies of Jehovah went out of the land of Egypt. It is a night for observance with regard to Jehovah for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. With regard to Jehovah, this night is one for observance on the part of all the sons of Israel throughout their generations. And Jehovah went on to say to Moses and Aaron, "This is the statute of the Passover, No foreigner may eat of it, but where there is any slave man purchased with money, you must circumcise him. Then, first, he may share in eating it. A settler and a hired laborer may not eat of it. In one house it is to be eaten. You must not take any of the flesh out of the house to some place outside, and you must not break a bone in it. All the assembly of Israel are to celebrate it. And in case an alien resident resides as an alien with you, and he will actually celebrate the Passover to Jehovah, let there be a circumcising of every male of his. First, then he may come near to celebrate it, and he must become like a native of the land. But no uncircumcised man may eat of it. One law is to exist for the native and for the alien resident who is residing as an alien in your midst. So all the sons of Israel did just as Jehovah had commanded Moses and Aaron. They did just so. And it came about on this very day that Jehovah brought the sons of Israel together with their armies out of the land of Egypt. That's the end of Exodus 12. That very, very important verse on this very day, verse 41, that they went out of Egypt, 430 years to the very day. Is certainly one possible interpretation of that. And verse 40, the dwelling of the sons of Israel who had dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came about, verse 41, at the end of the 430 years, it even came about on this very day that all the armies of Jehovah went out of the land of Egypt. So certainly it appears that 430 years to the very day is implied there. And they dwelt in Egypt. Right? There is a different rendering in some parts of... In the Septuagint, for example, it says the dwelling of the sons of Israel, which they dwelt in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, was 430 years long. So that could be explained by understanding that Joseph began dwelling in Egypt in the year 1923 BCE in the genealogy when he was 30 years old and when he first became a citizen after being released from prison and appointed as the second in command of all Egypt by the Pharaoh of that time. And also, after 1923, the sons of Jacob and Jacob himself came into Egypt in 1914. So that's why they had been dwelling in Canaan as well as in Egypt, because Jacob was in Canaan with his sons until the second year of the famine in 1914 BCE in the genealogy. So this is how this statement in the Septuagint is explained with regards to the sons of Israel, which they dwelt in the land of Egypt, those 430 years, and in the land of Canaan they dwelt as well during those 430 years. Okay. The book of Acts, chapter 3. Now Peter and John were going up into the temple for the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man that was lame from his mother's womb was being carried, and they would daily put him near the temple door that was called Beautiful, in order to ask gifts of mercy from those entering into the temple. When he caught sight of Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began requesting to get gifts of mercy. But Peter, together with John, gazed at him and said, "Take a look at us." So he fixed his attention upon them, expecting to get something from them. However, Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not possess, but what I do have is what I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk." With that, he took hold of him by the right hand and raised him up. Instantly, the soles of his feet and his ankle bones were made firm. And leaping up, he stood up and began walking. And he entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people got sight of him walking and praising God. Moreover, they began to recognize him, that this was the man that used to sit for gifts of mercy at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they became filled with astonishment and ecstasy at what had happened to him. Well, as the man was holding on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them at what was called Solomon's Colonnade, surprised out of their wits. When Peter saw this, he said to the people, "Men of Israel, why are you wondering over this, or why are you gazing at us as though by personal power or godly devotion we have made him walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our forefathers, has glorified his servant, Jesus, whom you, for your part, delivered up and disowned before Pilate's face when he had decided to release him. Yes, you disowned that holy and righteous one, and you ask for a man, a murderer, to be freely granted to you, whereas you killed the chief agent of life. But God raised him up from the dead, of which fact we are witnesses. Consequently, his name, by our faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you behold and know, and the faith that is through him has given the man this complete soundness in the sight of all of you. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your rulers also did. But in this way, God has fulfilled the things he announced beforehand through the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn around, so as to get your sins blotted out, that seasons of refreshing may come from the person of Jehovah, and that he may send forth the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven indeed must hold within itself until the times of restoration of all things of which God spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets of old time. In fact, Moses said, Jehovah God will raise up for you from among your brothers a prophet like me. You must listen to him according to all the things he speaks to you. Indeed, any soul that does not listen to that prophet will be completely destroyed from among the people. End of the quote of Moses. And all the prophets, in fact, from Samuel on and those in succession, just as many as have spoken, have also plainly declared these days, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God covenanted with your forefathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth will be blessed. To you first, God, after raising up his servant, sent him forth to bless you by turning each one away from your wicked deeds. The end of Acts chapter 3. And so that's the end of our study, little children, for today. It is April 30th, 2023. It's 13:52 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you very much. Thank you for listening. I hope you wondered at the reading today, at the various parts of the study, and that you enjoyed it. And may God bless you, and seek first the kingdom and the righteousness of God, that all these things may be added to you. And keep in mind that Jesus is the chief agent of life. So, on my behalf, it is Dusty and Gully saying bye for now.